Happy, happy weekend. It's Friday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:07. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. I don't want to work. Bang it hard. Yowza. Happy Hulk Hogan Day. It is official. The governor announced it yesterday. Hulk Hogan Day. Yes, rest in peace, Hulkster Terry Bollea. Clearwater. He lived, 13 years of his life? Basically, most of his life, though, in the Tampa Bay area. Even though he was born in Augusta, Georgia, he really spent the vast majority of his life in the Tampa Bay area. We consider him like a local guy and definitely a Florida guy. And
big time.
He's had a hugely successful career. He's reached a lot of people. He's, you know, had a very positive message to share with folks. And so he, you know, we lost him. He passed away July 24th. And according to Pinellas County Forensic Science Center, he died of a heart attack. Also, though, he was dealing with atrial fibrillation and irregular heartbeat. And the records also showed that he had a history of chronic lymphatic leukemia, a form of cancer that affects the white blood cells. So, but really, in the speech that DeSantis gave just yesterday, our governor, he said he grew up viewing Hogan as a superhero. And the fact that he was from the Tampa Bay area while I was growing up there, it was just like, oh, my gosh.
Oh,
really sad to see him go. Thoughts and prayers go out to his family and the people throughout the region of Florida. So I think it's a great move by the governor. And we appreciate that. Also, are you ready for some football? The NFL season actually kicked off last night. Yeah, it's a preseason game, but it's still football.
But so when it's in the 90s, you don't think about football.
I'm thinking about it.
Well,
because I don't know if it's the temperature changes and then there's football, or football helps to change the temperature.
I never thought about it that way. And if your second option is good, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it's the Chinese that control the weather, Greg. Come on, man.
Good point.
This was the Hall of Fame game that they play every year in Columbus, Ohio. Canton, Ohio. My bad. Canton, Ohio. And
it's Ohio. It doesn't really make a difference.
Wow. Greg hates everyone from Ohio. His email address is...
Yes. That might have been a little extreme description of what I said.
Okay.
I mean, Ohio just doesn't come off as the most exciting place in the world.
Wow. Oh. Again. Again.
The hate. I should be on the Alachua County School Board.
Yeah, let's not take it that far.
Good point.
It's not like you wish people dead.
That's a good point.
Yeah, just because of their political affiliation. Yeah. By the way, anyway, the Chargers beat the Lions last night. It's just a preseason game. You know, when I say it that way, you know what that means, right? My team lost. It's just preseason. It doesn't mean anything. No. If the Lions had won, I'd say, there you go, man. They're going to be back. They're going to be in the Super Bowl this year. But, no, it was the San Diego Chargers won 34-7, and the game opened with a moment of silence for the four people killed earlier this week by the shooter who was targeting the league headquarters in New York.
That's classic.
So hitting close to home. And the gunman also wounded a league employee in that shooting. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell told NBC that he visited the employee for about an hour on Wednesday and said the man was improving. There was also increased security around Tom Benson Stadium for this particular event and the Pro Football Hall of Fame Village. Yeah, a lot of your the big player, like the stars for the Lions, Jared Goff and St. Brown, Gibbs was out, David Montgomery. So they didn't see any action. And San Diego rested some of their stars, too. But anyway, the other thing that I wanted to share as a result of this game, cornerback Eric Allen, defensive end Jared Allen, tight end Antonio Gates, wide receiver Sterling Sharp, they will be inducted into the Pro Hall of Fame, and that'll happen officially on Saturday. But the main thrust of that whole conversation is about football season.
Man, it just doesn't feel like we're ready, you know? But, hey, if it
helps, I'm ready.
Let's go for it.
That's why they always ask.
Yeah.
That's why Bo Cephas would always ask,
are you ready for some football?
Yeah, that's how that whole thing came. Wow. Came about. He wanted to get you ready for it.
Because it was a hot day, and he's like, man, are you ready for some football?
Hey, I got something that's going to irritate you, but you need to know about it.
That's encouraging, friends. Well, he's going to irritate us.
We just did Valor last night where we, you know, we give awards to these people that stand up in our community and go above and beyond the call of duty. These folks are first responders, law enforcement, and fire rescue. And so we have their backs, and we support what they do. Mm-hmm. And we are so fortunate to be here in Florida. We've got a great attorney general, James Uffmeyer.
Yep.
He was our speaker last night. He's got your backs. Mm-hmm. He knows public safety is very, very important. We've got Governor Ron DeSantis. He knows. He's 100% all in, shall we say. And so we have something going pretty good here in Florida.
Yeah.
I'm happy to live in this state, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. Well, listen how things are in Colorado, for instance. Mm. Two Colorado deputies have been disciplined. Oh, no. What did they do?
Uh-oh.
Starting fights, carousing, taking the patrol car out and doing donuts in the parking lot.
Ooh, donuts.
No, they're not like me. No. These are good guys.
Exactly.
They were disciplined for sharing information with federal immigration agents, which is a violation of Colorado state law. They enacted this law just a few months ago. Can you imagine? This is after the onslaught of illegals flood into our country during the 4 years under the Biden administration. They're flooding in. And Colorado reacts in a way to tie the hands of law enforcement?
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Look, but it's all about that sanctuary stuff. You imagine? Now, let's just take this scenario. So the cops pull over somebody, and they find out through the traffic stop that this person is here illegally, clearly.
Okay.
And because of the state or whatever, they can't do anything about it. So they tell their buddies, right, in immigration and ICE. But let's say they didn't. And then the person that was pulled over goes on and does really something bad, whether it's, you know, drunk and driving the wrong way on a highway and killing.
And we've seen
two young people. Yeah, it just happened recently.
We saw that. Yes.
Yeah, two high school sweethearts, both dead.
Right.
Because of somebody who had been deported, came back.
Shouldn't have been here.
Criminal, et cetera. Yeah. So listen to this. They violated state law by tipping off their friends in ICE. Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser sued Mesa County Sheriff's Deputy Alexander Zwink last week after his cooperation with federal immigration agents on a drug task force was exposed during a Brazilian college student's arrest for an expired visa. This according to the Associated Press. While addressing the incident on Thursday, the Mesa County Sheriff Todd Roll said Caroline Diaz Goncalves, a 19-year-old nursing student, was pulled over by Zwink for a traffic stop on June 5th after she was allegedly driving too close to a semi. All right, and while she was released with a warning, after about 20 minutes, federal immigration agents stopped her and arrested her shortly after. Zwink had shared her location and a description of her vehicle in a group chat that included ICE agents. She was arrested by ICE and taken to a detention facility where she was held for 15 days before being released on bond. And an internal investigation revealed a second Mesa County deputy and task force member, Eric Olson, also shared immigration information with federal agents. Can you imagine being a law enforcement authority? You're a law enforcement officer. You share information with a federal authority about possibility that there's a person here breaking immigration law.
And you're all sworn to uphold our Constitution protect it and its citizens here. Except in Colorado.
Yeah.
Among others.
And I don't know where it's at legally in terms of is there any legal challenges to that law?
To that state law in
Colorado. There sure should be.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
When law enforcement cannot share information with federal law enforcement of someone who's not supposed to be in our country. I don't care if you're a nursing student. If you're not supposed to be here, you're not supposed to be here.
So these two deputies, doing their jobs, I think, were both been suspended without pay.
Unreal.
Yeah.
That's just not American.
Yeah. Mm. No good deed goes unpunished in some states.
Wow.
Like Colorado. 8:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and never miss a minute of the show. You just search The Bob Rose Show on your favorite app, hit the follow button, and you catch every episode, every hour, every highlight, whenever it works for you. Now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcast. Happy Friday, 97.3 The Sky. Happy Friday. Welcome to the weekend. It's 8:20, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Greg, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Did you hear about this ice cold front where is coming moving through?
Now, I think you might have added words. I think
break out the long johns, I say.
I think our weather guy said cold front.
He did say it.
That's a technical term.
I begged him to do it. He took the challenge.
You're taking him at his word that cold means cold, but it doesn't really mean cold.
Well, not in Florida, no.
It's all relative.
97 today, approximately, and then we're looking at average around 92-ish.
See, that's
on
cold
Saturday
front.
And Sunday.
That's cold front.
I would call it cold.
Yeah.
I would call it possibly livable. I don't know. Air conditioning's not going to completely blow up.
Oh, man, mine just won't turn off.
No.
It's awful.
Crazy. All right. I forget where I wanted to go with this. Let me think for just a second.
Then get back to us on that. I'm sure it was something
riveting. All right, I'm going to go with this.
Okay, what you got?
This was where I wanted to go. Because we were talking, well, we were actually talking about them off the air, weren't we? Armalite's, ARs.
Yeah.
Because Kathy Hochul, you know, the wise governor of New York, you know, she wants to ban.
Yeah.
And it should be a nationwide ban. All. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna change the name from assault weapons to assault and pepper weapons.
Oh.
Right?
Well, they're a little spicy. They're very common, like salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's such a kind of a, I don't know, sort of a silly term to begin with. Anyway, Hochul, her lack of... her lack of common sense or understanding of the Second Amendment, anyway, doesn't end there. Listen to this. So you know that people have been leaving New York, and I did a story on it, and it's over a period of years. I forget what it was, 10 or 12 years, but they've lost like $1 billion by people moving, and it may be higher than that, but I'm trying to remember. But anyway, it was a lot, and. She's funny. She was doing an interview, and she said that people in New York are leaving for Florida and Texas because, quote, the weather's better.
Okay.
And then she slipped in, and maybe Texas. You think?
Maybe
Texas.
But the weather's the real reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the main issue is the cost of housing because people are also leaving for Connecticut, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, which have the same taxes and weather as New York, she said. Hochul also said, you know, you're going to the other states. Let me tell you the five states that New Yorkers are going to. Uh-huh. They go to Florida or Texas. I understand weather's better, maybe Texas. But then she wanted to name the three other states, like Connecticut, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I think maybe some people want to get out of there, and if they go to other states in proximity, like your Connecticut's and Pennsylvania's, that might be because they want to get out of New York, but they don't want to be too far from family.
Right, but Florida and Texas, great governors, some great leadership, I think, and the weather, good reasons.
I mean, it's about, being free.
Yeah.
The higher your taxes are, that impacts your freedom.
Oh, big time.
The harder you got to work, or the more you got to work, or whatever, just keep your head above water, just to pay your bills and taxes.
Tax for everything. I mean, I had a thought about something. Well, there's a tax on that.
So it's just another, she doesn't get it. Because, she can't. I mean, I don't know. The interviewer brought it up, I guess, so she was sort of painted into a corner to some extent. But she can't just say, I agree the taxes are too high. We got to do something about it. That's not what they say. And in fact, if you have this guy coming in as mayor, the taxes, he wants to raise the taxes. This Mamdani guy.
Well, you got to raise taxes to give away free stuff.
And even then, it won't be enough to pay for it all. And then what do you think? Do you think you'll lose even more people that live there that have the, you know, the wherewithal and the financial ability to move? You know, it's not easy for some people. They can't just pick up and leave.
Right.
But if you have money, you can make that transition much, much easier. So those are the first ones they're going to go. Plus, they're the ones paying the majority of the taxes. They just, well, they if they do get it, they cannot ever say it out loud.
No.
Because they are clearly the party of high taxes.
You're in the Democrat hive, and you've got to stick with it. Sadly, they feel.
President Donald Trump increasing the tariff on Canada from 25% to 35%. Possibly beginning today, after the U.S. neighbor to the north failed to help curb the imports of fentanyl and other illicit drugs. We talked about this a long time ago when President Trump was still beginning to institute high tariffs. And he was talking about Canada, and I believe it was Mexico specifically, and had to do with fentanyl. And a lot of us kind of scratched our heads and go, a fentanyl issue in Canada, we weren't all that aware of, but apparently there is. And I said at the time, I go, that's going to be kind of tough to measure what steps they've taken to help abate this fentanyl problem in Canada. How do you measure that? Is it just, well, we spent X amount more money for law enforcement, or we had more border protection, or what? I always thought that's going to be, how do you measure that? Because we're doing in real numbers the tariff that we're placing there. The White House noted Trump signed an executive order on Thursday to increase the tariff in an effort to hold Canada accountable for its role in the flow of illicit drugs into the U.S. Additionally, Trump signed another executive order to modify the reciprocal tariff rates for some countries to further address the United States trade's deficits, and the action reflects his efforts to protect the U.S. from foreign threats or national security and the economy by securing, quote, fair, balanced, and reciprocal trade relationships, according to the White House. All right. President announced an additional 10% tariff on all countries, though he announced higher tariffs for countries the U.S. has large deficits with. But, I mean, overall, the whole tariff situation that President Trump has brought about has been highly successful. There's still some pieces that need to fall into place, but they're working on those. And overall, I think the picture looks very, very good for the U.S. So that means Trump's winning, we're winning. And I like that. 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And we've got so much more to talk about, including how Arab nations understand Hamas better than UK, France, Canada, and so on. We'll dig into that a little bit as well. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome and happy Friday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:35 and we had a great time last night. Valor Awards, handing these out to first responders go above and beyond the call of duty. And that was our ninth, Greg. Can you believe it?
It's flying by.
It really is.
It's a bigger and just more exciting event every year, I think. And I know that they, even though they're not looking for the attention, they appreciate it.
You know, kind of a theme. One of the themes, James Othmeyer, our new, attorney general in the state of Florida, who was our guest speaker last night, he brought it up, and it was about family, but family of first responders and how rock solid that is, and how you need a backstop and all that. But also family from the perspective of Florida being a great and safe place to raise a family.
Yes.
And that the folks in those room, they really helped to represent that. And, and that was pointed out by Uthmeyer. And I thought he had a lot of good things to say. He definitely sounds like he's got public safety and law enforcement's got their back.
Yep.
And that's important. And you seem to be enjoying yourself as well.
I did.
Great job, by the way.
We always enjoy doing it. Of course, you know, sometimes we don't get to see all of our, you know, our chiefs, our captains, or whatever friends that we have. And so this is a chance we get to. One thing that, that I always found interesting, and it stood out a little bit more last night, and you noticed this too, I'm sure, is because you're talking about the families. You know, the nominees come, and they can bring their families. But some of them have young families with young kids, and they brought them. And I know when we're – because we always get a picture taken with the winners, and it was so cute, the one where their little boy was holding on, holding on to his Valor Award. You know, it was such a cute picture. But we love to see that, and no, it's just a great event every year.
Well, I was talking to Jerry from campus.
Yes, Jerry Benton.
And it was one of our great sponsors. We appreciate it. Also, Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. But I was talking to Jerry, and we were talking about, you know, a tough gig it is to be. I said, yeah, I said, you think about it. You know, in our case, you know, wives wonder what time we're going to get home.
Right.
Versus wondering if.
Yeah.
That's a lot to take in.
When you think about it that way, that is so profound.
Yes. And that is the nature of the kinds of jobs that they perform. And so we had, you know, awesome stories of, you know, heroics and sacrifice and all that. But they don't all end with a happy ending.
No.
But it's not for lack of effort. And that was part of the point, too. You know, you do everything you can.
Yep.
And in the vast majority of the cases, turns out, people turn out, you know, okay, or things go well. You know, I thought one was a head-on collision, and this guy driving erratically, and they couldn't stop him. I would think it was two different FHP, I believe it was, that they attempted. They finally had to hit him head-on
to stop the vehicle.
And you're thinking, what kind of madman, disturbed, drunken, blah blah blah? As yourself when you're hearing the story,
yes, that's what we're thinking.
And then you find out later that. It was actually a medical issue, really is the best, you know, the part of the big reason behind what was occurring there. It had to do with, you know, something medical. And you think, these guys have to operate in such a way. You can't assume this is a bad guy. This could be a person who's having their own issues.
Yeah.
Medical issues, for instance.
Well, the first time that you were reading the story, because we read these all in June, I'm thinking, as I had not read the story or heard the story before, and I'm thinking, as you're reading and thinking, man, what's he going to do? Is he going to have draw down? Is he going to shoot the guy? I'm thinking, what's going to happen?
Right.
And then we realize it's a medical issue, and it's like, oh, that changes the story.
Yeah.
That was just very profound. But I didn't have to make a life or death decision of what I was doing at that moment. He did.
I think that, you know, a perspective is, you know, if you think about it, and this is whether you're fire rescue or in law enforcement, treat people like their family.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean you can let your guard down or be silly or whatever, but I'm saying if you treat them like your family member could get in trouble, your family member could get hurt.
Sure.
So what would you do? How would you want them to be treated? Mm. And it seems like these people have that kind of mentality. One ended in a fatality.
Yeah.
And the law enforcement officer involved, and you could see clearly he didn't want the scenario to end that way. And right after he shot the bad guy, as soon as he was able to disarm or whatever, he immediately rendered aid to that guy, a guy who just a minute before was literally trying to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And he just... I don't know if it's instinct or training or whatever it is, but this kind of compassion and immediately he was trying to save the guy's life. He wasn't successful, but it just goes to show. Yeah, and if we have these stories, I mean, these are just the ones that got nominated by, you know, the chiefs and the area folks.
Right.
There's a lot of stories that occur and happen every day.
All across this country.
Yeah.
And I tell you, until you're in those shoes, you don't realize what it's really like. So it's easy for those who want to be critics of law enforcement to find the occasional thing that happened that they don't agree with and just kind of put this blank negativity over them. But we like to take that opposite approach and go, look, They got a hard job. They're doing it, and we want to back them as much as we can.
Now in Cincinnati, I assumed the other day when this video went viral that most people that's in touch with the world had pretty much seen it. I mean, right. The numbers would bear that out. When you say it goes viral, I mean, it's seen by a lot of people. And it was a brutal viral video of basically like a, like a street, a fight melee kind of riot almost. And it was just awful. And I assumed that everybody had seen it. But apparently that might not be the case. Three major broadcast networks didn't even report on that heinous Cincinnati brawl.
How? How do they miss that?
Well, I don't think they missed it oops.
Right.
Because they don't like kind of the dynamics, if you will, of what occurred. And it appears, and again, I'm not judging, I wasn't there, but it does appear that it's black on white.
Okay.
So whites being attacked, and they're in smaller numbers, and then blacks perpetrating these violent acts. And you don't know exactly what happened, what started, and that's law enforcement's going to have to try to get to the bottom of that. But just the dynamic of that, of showing possibly black on white crime, was too much for the networks. That was just a little too much for them to show.
Wow.
Well, it goes against, all of their agendas. Now, had it been the other way around, are you kidding me? It would have led the news on every single, channel. It would have led the news. They would be going on about it exhaustively.
Yeah.
And they scratch their heads and they wonder why they have no credibility or respect. They do poll after poll. They talk to people. They don't respect them. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC. People don't feel like they're credible. They're a lot of times not even utilized as a news source. And they wonder, how can our ratings be bad?
Huh.
Well, look, you promote an agenda and garbage first, and secondarily or third or maybe fourth or not at all, you're a journalist. And this is a perfect case in point. And is it, if it's one network, well, we were busy. We had these other stories.
Right.
But no, it's all three major networks.
That just blows my mind.
Now, a couple of them eventually kind of picked up on a little bit of it, maybe put it online, bury it online a little bit.
Everybody was talking
about
it.
Not in the broadcast versions of their news hours, either in the evening or in the morning.
I mean, the initial video itself, then the comments being made, from officials there. I mean, it's like the story kind of just kept going.
Well, look, if you have a viral video and a lot of people are talking about it, there's going to be a tendency for them to cover it in general.
Sure.
For them specifically not to cover it is very telling.
Well, and again, was it a commissioner or something that was making the comment, about, because it was, and she referred to it as a beatdown, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I covered it a little bit yesterday, but that's exactly right. She said they begged for that beatdown. I'm grateful for the whole story. That was from Cincinnati Councilwoman Victoria Parks replying to a video of the assault.
But have we heard the whole story yet?
Not completely,
I
no.
I don't think so.
Not really.
But she has, and they deserved the beatdown they got.
Well, she's not going to be happy when she sees that, I think, so far, two, possibly three arrested all happen to be of persuasion that would lead you to think that they're...
We'll see. Hopefully we'll get the rest of the story.
8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And today is officially Hulk Hogan Day. Thank you, Governor DeSantis. All right? Keep on rocking with the Hulkster.
Brother!
More to come on 97.3 The Sky. That's a good song.
Oh, yeah.
Pump it up, my friends. It's Friday. Happy, happy. Welcome to it. 8:50 on the Bob Rose Show. 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. Greg Cassidy is in the house as well. And boy, I can't wait. Is her book officially out? Kamala Harris. And the harrowing, tough days she had. She named the book 107 Days. She was lost on a deserted island. No, she was on an island mentally for a while, thinking what she was going to put in her word salad.
Ooh.
Yes.
Wow.
And she announced Thursday her memoir.
Ooh.
About her time on the campaign trail after former President Joe Biden dropped out of the 24 race. Harris said her forthcoming book will give readers a behind-the-scenes look at her experience leading the shortest presidential campaign in modern history. She wanted to set records. She wanted to leave a legacy. So there it is, the shortest presidential campaign in modern history. And we should have also add one that had the least chance of winning, regardless of who she was running against.
I got a question for you. Yeah. I know everybody likes to write a book, but you think because she knows she has no future in politics, this like, well, I got to do something for money. Maybe I'll write a book. And maybe the people that did vote for me, all 17 of them, will buy it. I mean, or something like that.
It's possible. She's not running for governor. And so, she was on with Colbert. Loser meet loser. Both had these big L's on their forehead. It was weird. Well, oh, no, maybe that was just my TV.
There's a visual.
My TV has AI. It's programmed specifically to my tastes. Loser meet loser. Mm. But, you know, I mean, look, I wish the best to her. I don't wish her any harm, but, yeah, being in a position of authority that has, you know, various responsibilities might just be, you know, not her cup of tea. But, you know, like I say, you know, the good luck. Her video announcement drew widespread criticism from social media users. One person replied, how are you not embarrassed to have run one of the worst presidential campaigns in history? You literally had rappers twerking at your events.
Well, there is that.
You know, maybe she saw, you know, how Biden campaigned, you know, and she wanted to have a little spark, a little life.
Yeah.
Added to her campaign.
How'd that work out?
It didn't work out.
I didn't think so.
And actually, if she really wanted to take a page out of the Biden playbook, when he did win, didn't he do most of his stuff from the basement?
Wasn't it
COVID? He was hiding from COVID. And he's hiding from the crowds. No, he's hiding because there are no crowds.
Well, and that was the case for her, too. I mean, seriously, you saw a few of the things that she did, and you're like, wow. They had to be very protective about camera angles. They couldn't show the back of a room. If the room was too big, they brought in the curtains or the, you know, temporary walls. They had to do what they had to do.
But she chooses to go on Stephen Colbert. I mean, I guess it's par for the course, right? And where did I read it? I believe it was, what did I told you this morning, was it her eighth? I think her eighth appearance on Colbert.
Something like that. It was up there, yeah.
So, it again, that plays right into what I said about him just being an extension of the DNC.
Absolutely.
And that the network, I think, looked at that as a kind of a political contribution to keep, Colbert on the air, in spite of the fact that he was losing tens of millions of dollars for the network.
Crazy. What, that $40 million a year?
Yeah.
Down the tube.
So
just
business-minded person would allow that, could allow for that.
Yeah.
Why and how did they make some kind of an exception for a program that couldn't pay for itself, continued to be on the air, unless it was maybe political motivation in some way?
A mouthpiece for the party.
Yeah. Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And Roy, good morning.
Well, you know, it'd be kind of neat if we could revoke her vice presidential retirement paycheck as well.
That was an evil laugh, Roy. That was very bad.
That was almost a Kamala cackle there. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No.
I don't think. However, I think the point was made interesting. James Comer, you know, the one that sits on a lot of the oversight committees, the Republican out of Kentucky, and he said something like, "Well, I'm glad she's you know, dropped out of the governor's race in California, yeah. she'll have maybe more time to, you know, answer some questions that we have.
Ooh.
And I thought, well.
Yeah, but we've seen her answer questions, sort of, kind of.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah.
So, can you imagine, though, her in another campaign? I mean, if she cannot not do a word salad by this point in her life, she's never going to be able to do the
I mean,
the whole
where do you yeah. see her if she's going into the private sector? You know, what kind goodness. Of job would she be recruited for? Who would see a and I'm not being facetious at this point. I'm saying who would find, what value would they find? How could her whatever skills or talents, whatever you believe them to be, how could they be utilized in a fruitful way, in a meaningful way?
Not that she could necessarily teach them anything, but some really liberal DEI kind of college.
Oh, I wonder if she's going to be an adjunct professor.
They would love to have her name, former Vice President Kamala Harris. They'd like to have her on their roster, I think, and they'd pay her just to whatever she does. I don't know.
Yeah, I because I was wondering if, you know, she could hang around K Street and, you know, work on, you know, stuff like that.
Hmm. She
working for, you know, organizations are promoting, you know, whatever the particular cause.
So street worker, is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh,
That's how her career started, I think.
But, I misunderstood what you were saying.
No, as a lobbyist.
Oh, that's...
Lobby.
That's, yeah, she could hang out in the lobby. Yeah,
I don't think she'd hang out at the Hobby Lobby.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All that,
not if there's lightning nearby.
That good music playing. No.
I'm not judging.
No, just a little.
But I wouldn't be standing next to her.
No.
9 o'clock stretch is coming up next. We've got a special guest, small business owner. We're going to talk about Ocala, Marion County, growing in his perspective next on 97.3 The Sky.